Hey guys, you're listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast, and today I have Valerie with me as my co-host.
Hello again.
And we are chatting with Becky of Horticulture Design Company.
Hey.
So for those that don't know what Horticulture Design Company is, although I think the name is pretty self-explanatory, why don't you tell people what you do?
We are a plant, flower, and I hate to say gift because I think of like the old school gift shops, and we're like definitely not that. Some home retail shop. We have workshop space. We do workshops. And I think that's it.
I feel like you can say gift. I think you're like the... Can we call you trendy?
It's like new school. I like that you said old school. Yeah, it's like the new school gift shop.
We've had a ton of people come since we open and point out to us that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, there were a lot of really cool gift shops in the area, and there aren't anymore.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're so happy to have somewhere to buy gifts now.
Yeah.
So
I hadn't thought about that, hadn't planned on it. But yeah, we love that people, we have our regulars now that come in to get gifts, and it's cool.
Yeah, I am one of those people. I come in
yes,
and
you are.
I leave with things, and it's
yes,
great.
Yes, you are. You usually leave with a lot of things.
Yeah, I didn't get in trouble last time. Last time I went to Horticulture, I came back with two plants and like four gifts, and Chris even like helped me unload them out of the car, but I don't think he could tell which ones you had repotted for me and which ones were new. And so it was like a nice little surprise.
He doesn't know.
Yeah,
it's okay.
He's
going
to
until he listens to it right now.
And be like, oh,
yeah.
You bought a lot of plants.
But you didn't. You had those plants.
Yeah.
I bought a couple. I had to refill the ones that you... I can't have empty planters.
That would just be wasteful.
No, that's how it happens. You have one plant that you keep alive, and you're like, oh, I can make...
I can do it with another one.
You can live in a jungle, and it'll be great.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your story. So how did it all start?
That goes way back. Basically, I started by growing flowers. Well, really, okay, so this is the part I've never told, because I feel like I've told the other story a million times. When I was in high school, I always worked in retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was ready to go to college, I was like, I just want to have a retail store. Mm-hmm. And there was no degree for that or anything. And I felt like, okay, well, I got to go to college, so I got to pick something. So I just picked something and didn't ever do anything with it. And then after I had a couple kids, I started growing flowers. And people wanted to buy the flowers, which I thought was really bizarre because I was just gardening me. Yeah, it was cool. And that eventually evolved into like a full-on flower farm and selling at the farmer's market and selling at grocery stores and selling to florists and then selling directly to the public. And that turned into people saying, will you do my wedding? Will you make an arrangement for our baby shower? And so started doing design, even though I said no for a very long time. I was like, I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. And then people just begged, and so I was like, okay, I'll do that, and found that I was actually pretty good at it, and started doing weddings, found that there was a lot more money in doing wedding flowers than in just growing acres of flowers and cutting them and selling them to people, and had to pick one or the other, because they were both really full-time,
yeah.
And so that's where Roost came from, and had Roost flowers for, I'm going to get it wrong, I don't know how many years, maybe 10 years, did mostly wedding flowers, and had a little teeny tiny retail shop. And the thing I loved the most was the retail shop. And people would come in and they'd be like, oh my God, there's nothing like this around here. And at that point, it was
there
like
really wasn't.
Teeny yeah. tiny version of what we do now. And they were still flipping out about it. And houseplants were nowhere as popular then as they are now.
Right.
Thank you, COVID. It's like one of the few good things that came out of the whole COVID scenario. But so when I decided, I got really burnt out on weddings, and my two youngest were pretty young, and I decided to take a couple years and just be home with them and to not do any weddings for a while, with the idea that I was going to jump back into it at some point. And then I decided that if I was going to do it, I wanted to do the parts of it that I love the most, which we were going to do weddings that were basically like pickup only. Like, I always loved the brides that were just doing like a backyard family only wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the sweetest. They were the easiest to please. There was no stress. They would just come get it and they'd be blown away. And so I was like, we're just going to do those. We're going to have the retail store because that's what I really wanted to do. And that's kind of what happened. And then with COVID and people not having weddings, we never launched marketed that we did weddings yet. And then when we got to the point where we were ready to open another store, I was like, I don't want to do it. Why am I forcing it?
And if you don't need to.
People love the flower bar. They come in, and it doesn't matter what we have. They just get flowers, and they love them, and they're happy. And I'm like, it doesn't get much easier than that. So that's where we decided to go with that, at least for now. I keep saying for now. I'm like, having a hard time letting go of that whole, partially because I have a couple girls that work for me that love doing floral design and would love to do wedding design. I just don't know if I want to get into the whole, like, there's so much more involved than just making the flowers.
There is. Well, there's the whole process of having to, like, reach out to people and timelines and...
I feel like I have, like, PTSD just from the setup and the breakdowns. Wedding setups are so stressful because you usually have this window of... Some venues, it's like an hour. I mean, it's ridiculous. When they're like, you can get in at 4 and the wedding starts at 5. And by the way, there's hanging installations and 42 centerpieces. And you'd be like, okay. So I don't miss that at all. I don't miss the going back at 11 o'clock at night and being like, excuse me, drunk lady, I need to grab that centerpiece.
Right. That face is mine. Yeah.
Stopping people on the way out the door with your vases.
With them? Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of the short version of it all.
So you have two locations, for those that don't know. You have one in Ghent, and then one off Laskin in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
How did you go from one to two, and how did you make that decision? Because I feel like that is a very daunting...
Yeah.
One space is a lot.
Right.
Yeah. It was a lot, but it was the kind of thing that, like... From the minute we opened our doors, it was busy, and people were, like, excited about it. And every week we'd have people come in and go, oh, my God, I love your store. I just drove all the way from Virginia Beach, which I'm like, I drive all the way from Virginia. Like, I think of Norfolk and Virginia Beach is all kind of one area. We go to dinner in Norfolk a lot. And when we decided to open a shop, I looked all over Virginia Beach. I'm like, I've always worked in Virginia Beach. I'm a beach person. And, couldn't find anything. I was like, just couldn't find the right area, the right vibe, the perfect space. And when I saw the space in Norfolk, I was like, this is perfect. Like, everything about it was perfect. So we were like, okay, we'll do Norfolk. So we opened with no intention of opening another store, but we grew so fast. We had so many people constantly saying, we wish you were in Virginia Beach. We were looking at expanding to an online shop, which we're still doing, and we were almost kind of running out of room in our store. So I started looking for, we turned my office into a storage room because we had so much inventory. So I was kind of looking for office space, kind of thinking about doing combo office warehouse space to jump into the online shop and have more inventory, and found the space in Virginia Beach, and I was like, like, perfect spot for a Virginia Beach store, and everything about it was right. So I was like, okay, we're opening another store. So we did. It was, the timing was horrible. Like, I didn't realize that. I was like,
in the middle of COVID, you were opening a store?
Well, so when we signed the lease on the Norfolk store, COVID was not a thing.
Right.
Like, it was not. We signed in December. And then at the end of February, my daughter and I went off for a mother-daughter vacation. And on the way home, everybody had these masks on. We're like, what are these people? They were taking temperatures in airports. And we're like, oh, this is real. This thing we're talking about that we thought was not going to come anywhere near us. And within a month, things were starting to shut down. You know, they shut down the schools. And I was like, what are we going to do? We're supposed to open in April. We can't be open. And fortunately for us, it was one of those scenarios where everything was just so perfect. Like, the contractors took longer, the city inspectors took longer, and we couldn't open or pay rent until we could, we didn't pay rent until we could open, and we couldn't open until they were done. So it just so happened that the contractor finished right as the governor lifted and people could actually go back out again. And so it was just, I don't know. It was one of those situations where I was like, how is this so perfect and so meant to be? But then, you know, again, we were so busy and people were coming. We had people come from Williamsburg. We'd have people come from Suffolk, Portsmouth. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I was like, all right, we'll do the Virginia Beach store. But then, of course, I don't even know why that took way, way, way longer than it should. And so by the time we opened, it was right in the middle of our very first holiday season in the Norfolk store. So it was insane. It was just insanity. It was really bad. Really bad. I mean, bad in my head anyway.
Yeah.
It was good, you know, in real life. Everybody's like, wow, that's awesome. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I can't think straight, you know. But it's leveled out now that we have our staffing situated for now. And, you know, I just hired an operations manager, which was a huge thing. I think you and I talked about that.
We did.
So I'm like so excited for her to start and just take some stuff off my plate, you know, be an extra set of eyes and ears that, you know, can handle some of the, I can't do everything. It's crazy.
I think that's the hardest part when you have like all these things and all the, like a million different things moving. I was just telling Val before the podcast started, I like went to lay down in bed last night and I remembered 4 emails I was supposed to send.
Yeah.
And not like, nothing was urgent. Like nothing, I didn't need to like get up and send those emails.
Right.
But it's those little things that when you have so many things going on throughout the day,
yeah,
they wait till tomorrow and then something else waits till the next day. Mm-hmm. So having somebody, like bringing on somebody like an operations manager.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a great staff, but, you know, their job is to keep the store looking nice, make the customers really happy, take care of the plants, you know, handle the flowers in the flower bar. But there's so many moving parts because we do flowers and then we do plants and we pop the plants and then we do workshops and we get big shipments in and then we make gift boxes. And so having, you know, they just basically are trying to keep up.
Right.
But it's probably every week where it's something like, hey, we just ran out of retail bags. And I'm like, did you notice when you got the last box? I thought that was the last box or we just,
know.
So I just need someone else who can kind of like handle that kind of stuff for me. So.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. How long have you been in Norfolk?
It'll be a year in June.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy.
So in a year.
It feels like it's been so much longer.
In a year, you've opened 2 stores.
Mm-hmm.
How are you alive?
I'm telling you. That's some days. You know what? There's all kidding aside. Like I've had, because we did have some staff turnover in the Virginia Beach store. And so I was having to cover a lot of hours in addition to, like, ordering a sign and making sure we have, like, you know, the toilet fit. Like, one of our toilets quit work. Both of our toilets quit working. It was awesome. It was so awesome. And I was like, I got to leave. I got to run to Virginia Beach so that she can leave and go pee somewhere. Like, you know, ridiculous, you know. But taking care of that stuff while also trying to market the business and plan the merchandise and then handle the merchandising and then make sure everybody's schedule is good and then do payroll. You know, it's just I've had probably the whole month of April just so burnt out. Like I was going, I don't want to go in. I don't want to be in either of those stores. And I hate that because when I have it under control, I love being there. I'm like, it's so cool. Like, you know, just chatting it up with the customers.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So definitely, you got to have some balance in there. And we definitely probably grew faster than we needed to, but.
You say
but
that.
It's hard, but, like, the demand is there. So, that's, you know, that's hard.
Yeah, and if you feel like if you don't do it now that you might miss something or I don't know, you know, like, you should have done it yesterday.
Right. Well, so. And it's the kind of thing, like you said, like, COVID brought all the plant people. Like, I've always wanted to
I was certainly not a plant person. I wanted to be a plant person.
I
was not a plant person.
Yeah.
Until COVID.
Yeah.
Not a plant person.
I know how to keep them
They're alive.
Yeah. My plants are alive. See? So it's like, it's one of those things where if you don't take an opportunity, I think it's like the entrepreneur's like fault. Like if you don't take an opportunity, then it's not... Then you, like, sit around and wonder, what if I had done that thing?
Yeah. You think you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
It's like you want to do every idea that pops into your head.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which I think would have been a lot more doable if I had an operations manager before we opened the second store.
Right. Like, if you had, like, thought about that part first.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of days through the month of December and January sitting in the Virginia Beach store. We had no heat. It was so cold.
It was very cold.
Sitting there, like, waiting for this inspector or that contractor or whatever. And, you know, before that, I had been in the Norfolk store, like, 3, 4, 5 days a week. And so I was like, you guys doing okay over there? You need anything? You know, I mean, so it's just like, it would have been nice to have a little more support. But that's another thing with entrepreneurs is just delegating, getting help, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate delegating. I'm like, I hate telling people what to do. I'm like, you know, and that's what I'm hired them for, but I still hate doing it, uh-huh. and I struggle with delegating because I'm like, I'll just do it. So I'm having to learn that's not sustainable.
When you don't know until you know, I think is the other part of it. Like we like to think that we know all the things because it was our idea, and so clearly we know all the things, and nobody knows better than us. And then we like get into it, and we're like, I need another person. And they'll probably know better than me, and then I can think better about all this other stuff that I'm the only one that can think of.
Yes.
And so it becomes like a burden that I don't think anybody ever realized that they signed up for. Of like that burden of, I'm gonna make this successful all on my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, it's more fun with other people.
It is
more fun.
Yeah.
It's like so significantly more fun.
I went in yesterday, and I have two girls that have, one's been with us since we opened. So in addition to our one-year anniversary, it'll be her one-year anniversary in June.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Super cool.
That's awesome.
And then I have another girl that's been with us since about a month and a half after we opened. And the two of them have gotten really close. But one of them's now in the Norfolk store, one of them's in the Virginia store. They used to actually work together some when it was first new and everybody was learning. We'd have two people on, and now we typically have one. And I went in yesterday. And one works Saturday, the other works Sunday, and they had written each other little notes.
Aww.
And I'm like, that makes my heart so happy that, like, they like their job. And they like, you know, it's definitely gotten to be a little bit of a family. So I feel good about that. So I have to remind myself of those things when I'm having to, I had a driver call Sunday, and he's like, hey, I've got your plant shipment. It's coming. Can you come unload it? I'm like, yeah, that's what I was planning on doing today. Thank you.
Yeah, on a Sunday. Was ready to go into work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what's been the most surprising part for you?
I feel like there's new stuff every week. Like, my story yesterday, I was covering hours for someone, and this couple came in, and they had literally two questions. Like, a lot of people come in, and they want to talk for, like, a half hour. People love to talk about their plants. It's kind of like grandparents and their grandchildren. Like, people are like that with their plants. They want to talk about them. So people will come in, and they'll talk. Or they're new plant parents, and so they have a bajillion questions.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
Yeah.
A lot of people roll up with their phone, and they're like, I have one of these. And what is it? I'm like, I don't know. I can't see. It's dark in your living room. But they don't even know what kind of plant it is. And they're like, I'm not sure why I'm killing it, because I don't know what it is. And we have gotten to where we love, like, chatting with people about their plants and answering their questions. But this couple came in. They had two questions. They were really easy. One of them, I Googled the plant for her and found it, and she was, like, so grateful. And then they bought a plant in a pot, and I was like, yeah, do you want me to pot that for you? And they were like, oh, how much is that? And I was like, it's what we do.
It's, like, part of it.
Yeah. So they were like, do you have a tip jar? And I was like, no one's ever asked that before.
Yeah.
He's like, well, can you take a tip? And I was like, do I tell him the owner? And I was like, I mean, I guess, yeah. I didn't say anything. I just like, yeah, sure. And I go to ring him up, and he gives me a $20 bill. And I was like, no. That is so
that's
not
too much.
Like,
yeah.
This is what we do. And he was insistent. He would not leave without leaving that. And I was like, well, we are so having tip jars now.
No,
like,
right,
oh,
yeah.
Their butts off. They're getting tip jars. I was like, oh, my God, you guys. So it was cool.
It's but smart.
Not anything we've ever thought of, you know. But, yeah, I mean, there's... I don't know, every time we have a workshop, like, we've had workshops where we're like, I'm going to be really honest, we're like, are these people ever going to leave?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had very few, but most of our workshops, like, we get to know the people, and, you know, we get to, like, chat with them, and, you know, we'll have, like, groups of moms that come that have little kids, and they're, like, so excited to be out, or we've had couples that come in, so that's always fun. We've had a couple craft pop-ups. We're getting ready to have another one. So we've had, like, local makers that come and set up tables, and then you can either come in the front door through the shop and go out to the courtyard, or you come in through the courtyard and then come into the shop. And the first one we had, it was insane. Like, all they all sold out. We had Cure Coffee come and set up a coffee bar at our checkout, and people bought coffee. And the coolest thing about that is people come in, they get their coffee, and they'll sit on our little couch, and they'll hang out, and, you know, it's just, we feel, like, very much a part of the community when we do stuff like that, so those have been extremely rewarding. And then just, you know, when I had Roost, I had no staff. I had people that would help when I did a big event, but it was usually, like, I'll do all the design work, I just need help setting up, or I need help breaking
set
down.
This down.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, not people who were, like, people that knew how to design and could actually be
right. Or like they even had a key that would come in right. when I wasn't there, yeah. right, you know, right. anything like yeah. that. So building a staff that actually does act kind of as a family has mm-hmm. been really cool. It's been probably the hardest part, but it's been really cool. So
that's the coolest part of my business too, I think. Like you meet all these people and they're like, I think I really, really like what you do. And you're like, do you? You have like that like,
are you sure?
Do you? Like, do you actually, like, you just, what, do you
like the idea of it? Or yeah. Or do you do the work?
Right.
Yeah.
And then they get into it and you're like, oh, you like should have been here all along.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think it's really cool that you've built that team. I think it's awesome. One of my favorite questions to ask people on the podcast, do you think you're successful? And if you do, what's your definition of success?
Hmm.
If you don't, when do you think you'll get there?
So, this is really bad. I do. I do finally feel like I'm successful.
Uh-huh. That's not bad. Good. That's great. That's good. I feel like that's a perfectly acceptable answer.
It's bad because I think the reason I finally think that is just because I'm old as shit. And I'm like, I can allow myself that now. Like, I don't have to, you know, listen to. When I had Roost, I did not have a lot of support. And it was kind of a struggle. Like, I was trying to balance. I had, oh gosh, how old were they? I mean, my youngest was a baby when I started. And when I closed my doors there, he was old enough to get off the bus, put the coat in the garage, and go in the house by himself and call me and tell me he got in the house. Like, he was still, you know, little. He has, like, a mustache and a deep voice now. So.
I never got.
Yeah. But
we discovered Val's son's mustache the other day.
No, how old? He'll be 13 in November.
Okay, he just turned 14. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's like the creepy little like Mexican drug dealer.
That's what I said. It's like the little like it's like crustache situation that's happening.
Yes,
thank you.
Oh God, they're gonna hate me now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Sorry, children.
Called it so many things. Yeah, that's awesome. But so I always felt like I was doing half of everything. Like I was not doing anything just to the fullest as well as I could. Mm-hmm. Everything was always like a rush, and I was always forgetting stuff, and I was always like. You know, every wedding was stressful because I was like, all right, I got to get your breakfast and get out the door. You know, not like, I'm going to go at 6 and give myself 3 extra hours just for all the stuff that usually goes wrong. I couldn't do that. I was like, I got to make sure they're good. And, you know, and then I've got to hurry and get back home for the game or the whatever. And, you know, now that they are older, I have a really good partner. I feel like I can do everything right. I can take the time and the energy to do everything right. And rather than... I don't have anyone going, what about me? What about this? What about that? Instead, they're all like, you know, do you need any help? Like, this is awesome. And I feel like that kind of allowed me to kind of go, we're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, it's so much of it, I think, is how you perceive yourself, whether or not
100%.
You feel successful. It has nothing to do with numbers. You know, like, my sales were great with Roost, but if you had asked me then, are you successful? I'd be like, oh my God, no, someday I will be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good measurement because I think Ren, my 5-year-old, yesterday was like, you should just not work on weekends and hang out with us. And I was like, because I had worked a wedding the day before and I literally didn't have to be at the wedding until 5. So like, I spent all day. We had breakfast together. We swam in the pool. We went to lunch. Aww. Like, swam in the pool some more. Like, it was... And then I left. So I missed dinner and bedtime. And that was too much for her. And so it's that weird line of, like, being like, hey, you have to understand work is part of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was here, for the very long period of time that I was here, I made sure that that was all you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be times I have to leave. And so that's, I think, probably the hardest.
I think that's anywhere.
With anything.
Anywhere.
With anything.
Yeah. Always has. Yeah. Like we always talk about Agnes and I. You know Agnes. We always talk about mom guilt. She works more than anybody I know. And her kids are almost, of course, she's going to college, one that's in college. Mm-hmm. And she still has mom guilt. You know.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I'm the same way. I'm like, my big goal with the shops and getting the staff and the operations manager is to be able to make dinner every night. And my kids really, my oldest is 24. I mean, he has a job. He goes into the office, and I still want to be home and make dinner for him, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, for me, they don't care. It's right. more just, I just know that I'm there, I'm present.
Right.
I'm mm-hmm. doing something for them, because as they get mm-hmm. older, there isn't constant stuff where they're like, can you do this? Can you do that? I need this. I need that. And so then you want to do that stuff because you almost feel bad if you don't. But
or just to let them know that it's an option.
Right.
Yes. But I think the mom guilt is one of those things. There's no getting around it. It's just, if you're a mom, you have mom guilt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you know, when you were telling your story, I think part of it that really resonated was like, you like, I stopped Roost, did what I needed to do for a while, mm-hmm. and then was like, all right, it's time to like jump back in and open 2 stores in a year. You know what I mean?
That's all.
So I think it's like that mom guilt paired with that like spirit of being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Like, and you have to like, people can't see me, but I'm doing things with my hands. Like, you have to
join them. Join them together.
Some way mm-hmm. that makes sense. And there's never a right answer.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with how long you've been in business, how long you've been doing it. Like, and your version of success does change, because I know when I was younger and we were doing it and my kids were little, when my business was more new than it is now, I thought that I needed to be busy all of the time and I needed to be doing all of these things. Mm-hmm. And always constantly booked and having weddings every weekend. And that's what I thought made me successful. And that's very different than now. Like, it's a very different experience.
True.
And I especially think, when you pare it down and do the things you love and find people you trust to do things. Yeah. And
Well, I think the thing you said about, and not to, like, call you old because you're not. When you said you're old as shit.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it, too. Like, the age of your business and the age of, like, yourself. Uh-huh. And just being like, I can't work 70 hours a week for the rest of my life and live the life I want to live. Mm-hmm. And so I have to find a way to delegate, like you've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Still do the job that I love, because that's the whole reason I started. Mm-hmm. But then I don't cook dinner for my family.
Yeah.
I don't cook dinner for my family. My husband does, because he don't want
be there for dinner. To
be there. I'll be there for dinner.
I think for me, it's as much that I love to cook, and it's relaxing. It's fun. Yeah. I put music on. I get my glass of wine, mm-hmm. and then I cook something, and sometimes other people eat it, and sometimes other people eat it at midnight. And, you know,
but you made it.
Stay
and
they're like, thanks, Mom. You know. Uh-huh. Yeah. But the funny part is I love being old. Like, I love, and I mean, I know I'm not that
you're
old.
You're not.
But
you're not.
On paper, I'm old. But I love it, because I feel like you do kind of, the older I've gotten, the more perspective I have, and I'm like, like you said, like, I didn't start this business so that I could just work 7 days a week.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't start this business so I could be exhausted and stressed out. I started it so that I could have something that is profitable and fun and that I get excited about. And that, you know, like, we meet the coolest people. And that's, like, one of our favorite things about being in the shop some days, you know. So I want to keep working towards that balance of, when I'm in the shop, I'm not rushing around stressed out. I'm like, hey, what's up? What'd you come in for?
Yeah.
Tell me about your plant. Show me your pictures of your living room.
Right.
All the things that when I am stressed out and like, talk to someone, I don't have time for that. I don't need to see your living room.
Right.
But, you know,
yeah. So.
Right. Uh-huh. Like, you're not worried about, you know, gift bags and whether or not they've been ordered, or, you know, you're not worried about any of that. You're worried about the person right in front of you.
Right.
And those are the things I wish that 36-year-old business-owning Valerie could tell 22-year-old business-owning Valerie.
Yeah.
Now, like, those are the things that I wish I had known, or that someone had told me. Like, not that I probably would have listened, to be honest.
But when you start, you feel like you have to do every show, and you feel like you have to, you know, try running ads, and you feel like you have to do pop-ups that are draining and don't amount to anything. There's no return, but you're like, well, but everybody.
But everyone did it.
Shows and the pop-ups and the, and it's so funny now, because we get asked all the time, like, we're, you know, will you guys come do a pop-up? Will you come do this? Will you come do that? And it's like, I was like, oh, I feel like we should do this. And then we did one, and I was like, I did this because I felt like we should do this.
Right.
Like, that right there should have been the key that, you know. And I had a couple people say, like, the whole point of coming to your shop is coming to your shop. Like, you know, that's great that you're getting out and chatting with people in the community, and maybe you saw a couple people that didn't know about your shop, but, like, you're taking little bits of it, and it's not the whole experience, and we want the whole experience. We'd rather come to your shop than come see you at a pop-up somewhere. So I was like, okay, good, because I don't want to do them. Like, we don't have the time, don't have the bandwidth.
Well, that's why I like the idea of the craft days, mm-hmm, where you mm-hmm have people who don't have retail spaces that, come right to you. That right makes perfect sense.
Yes.
They mm-hmm don't have a place to meet people. You are a destination location.
Yep.
People will come out to see you and then maybe pick up some other things along the way that you don't offer.
Right.
And then it's a mutually mm-hmm beneficial situation.
Well, and that's what I was forgetting. It's like when I did the pop-ups and stuff with Roost, we'd go and we'd set up a little flower shop in the middle of West Elm, and people were like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. What do you do? Where, you know, mm-hmm, I didn't have a location. Right. So it made sense then. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like, why did we do that? Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. Trying to cram a bunch of stuff in the car. And you know, it was just like, people just want to hang out and drink beer today. They don't want to, you know. So.
In theory, it seems like it's a great idea. And then in practice, it ends up being so much work. Mm-hmm. But it's right for the people that don't have spaces. And I think that's kind of the whole point of the podcast, is that some things are right for some people at some points in
right
their... Yeah,
mm-hmm,
right. But not right forever.
Yep.
Or not right at all.
Right.
And I think that's what I have always wanted the biggest takeaway to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what works for you will not work for me, will not work for Val, will mm-hmm not work
yeah
for whoever else listens.
Yeah.
Or totally could.
Right.
Yep. I mean, mm-hmm, no, it's good to learn, and some stuff you just have to try it before you go, yeah, no, bad
right
idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on paper, so. I mean, no offense, on paper, who opens 2 retail stores in the year in the middle of a pandemic, right?
I feel
right
like, yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people do.
No, that's not like a normal, no.
Okay,
no,
all right,
no,
my bad.
But it worked for you.
It did work for you because you had the right concept, and you were the right person
uh-huh
to do it, and you had
uh-huh
the right team in place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you had the right vision for it. And so
mm-hmm
you did it, and you did it well. If I did it, I would be underwater somewhere. Like, I would not
mm-hmm
be here
well
having
I think
this conversation
we also
with you
knew from the one store, this is working.
Right.
Clearly.
Right.
Like, from our numbers
mm-hmm
and everything. It was like, it was working really, really well. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, it wasn't like we were taking some big leap where we were like, wonder if people are going to be excited about this concept. It was just
right
like,
you
we're just going to set
yeah
up a little sister store for this concept so the people over here don't have to drive to here.
Right.
And so it wasn't.
It was organic
was
growth. Like it wasn't forced or.
It was.
It's just what was there.
Yes.
It was working.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that not everybody has that. And so I think part of the organic growth has been like you
uh-huh
and your concept and taking that thing that you wanted to do when you were
in high school.
In
yeah
high school.
Yeah.
And turning it into a reality. Like, you have to have that, this is what I've wanted to do. I might have to work 80 hours this week, but in a year, this is all going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And then maybe somewhere in there, I'll hire an operations manager and not do that anymore.
And do the fun parts.
And do the fun parts. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Well, I'm stoked. I'm very excited for you.
Thank you.
If you guys haven't stopped by to see her shops, with an S at
yeah
the end.
Multiple
shops. You should. Thanks for coming to hang out with us today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Good. Try. Bye, guys.
Bye.